Welcome to another episode of the Advocacy in Action podcast series, which focuses on the people, policies, and activities in Columbus and D.C. that stand to impact your business. I'm your host, John Rizzo, VP of the Akron Can Advocacy Alliance, and today we're holding a conversation with a candidate running for the Ohio Senate, Jane Timken, as part of a broader effort to provide information to members regarding the November general election. Senator Timken, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we know each other. You're no stranger to folks around your district. But for anyone listening to this that might not be familiar with you, could you just share a little bit about your background, your motivation to be a public servant, how you got here?
Yeah, sure. So I have lived in the community for over 30 years. As background, I grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I'm the granddaughter of Irish immigrants. You know, sometimes people think with my last name, Timken, I like to remind people that my grandmother worked as a maid and my grandfather worked in a rubber factory. So I come from good, hearty Irish immigrant stock. You know, my parents instilled in me the importance of community, but also the importance of education. And I went to Harvard for my undergrad, and that opened up a lot of doors for me. I then worked in Washington, D.C., and then went to law school at American University. I actually met my husband in Washington, D.C., and he's from Canton, Ohio, and we moved back here. And I have lived here ever since. I really believe that if you're going to be a good public servant, you have to listen to the people you represent. And you have to be willing to fight for them. But you also have to be willing to come up with solutions that solve their everyday problem. And I'm the kind of person that likes to roll up my sleeves, get to work, get moving on the things that really will make a difference in people's lives. Besides practicing law in Stark County for several years and being a magistrate in Common Pleas Court, I did a lot of community service. I was heavily involved in Arts in Stark, which had been the Canton Cultural Center and transformed into Arts in Stark, which I was involved in that transformation. I was on the Kent State University Board for 9 years, chaired the board, and was very involved in higher education. I've been on the ComQuest board, which I think many are familiar with ComQuest. Not only do they do recovery for folks, but they do a lot of other things like adoption and their Samaritan's table. They really take care of people in the community. So I come from that kind of background into public service. I really believe that my job is to help the people I represent.
No, that's great. Thank you for that. And you kind of had a unique entry into the legislature. So we'd love to hear a little bit about that and maybe how that's kind of positioned you to prepare for not only this election, but future service in the legislature.
Sure. So I had been involved in local county Republican politics since about 2009. I then ran to become the chairman of the Ohio Republican Party. So I ran the entire state party, which is a multi-million dollar organization doing lots of significant fundraising, but so that we could have the resources we needed for our candidates. But I had been heavily involved in statewide races, legislative races, congressional races, and all the way down to city council and mayor's races and township trustees. I spent a lot of time traveling around the state of Ohio. I feel like I'm unique in that I just am not aware of what's happening in my district, but I understand the communities across Ohio that are quite frankly very different. There's a big difference between Athens, Ohio, and Perrysburg, Ohio. And so to be an effective legislator, you really have to understand the complexities of the state. It also gave me the opportunity to know a lot of the other legislators. So when I was appointed in January of 2025, I did know quite a bit of other legislators on both sides of the aisle. And I just would be remiss if I didn't say that I was appointed to replace the great Kirk Schering, and those are big shoes to fill. He was a giant of a man, and I don't know if I'll ever achieve what he's achieved, but he definitely is someone I'd like to emulate.
That's fantastic. Yep, he's sorely missed, but appreciate the work you've done in the meantime, to your point, to fill those shoes. In your time in office so far, what's your primary focus been? Where have you kind of, what issues have you gravitated towards?
So, it's been very interesting. I tend to focus on things that will make a difference, not only energy policy, workforce policy, higher education issues, but also some surprising things that I've been involved in, whether it's childcare, whether it's perinatal mental health screenings. And also some criminal reforms. Those are things that I think will make a difference in people's lives. If it's something that I think is going to be effective legislation that moves the ball forward, I will. I'm not one of those legislators that think that I'm a good legislator if I drop 1,000 bills. I just, I'm a small C conservative. I believe in limited government. I, became a Republican during the Reagan era, so I am very much believe in less government, less regulation. We should not, my job is to make things better, not to have more rules and laws that harm businesses and families.
It's so as a business community, we naturally gravitate towards issues that are considered to be bipartisan, especially when it's for big issues or opportunities for the broader region. You mentioned, in previous roles having interacted with both sides of the aisle. How would you say bipartisanship fits into your approach to policymaking?
Sure. The one thing I like to tell people, the national news and the news media always tends to focus on the negative. I would love for people to just one day come down to the State House and actually watch a voting session. You'd be surprised how many bills pass with a unanimous vote. It's The state legislature is a place where there is a lot of bipartisan work that's done. If it's going to make sense and it's something I believe in, I will be willing to work across the aisle. We have big differences, believe me. There are times where I know the Democrats will not agree with me, but that doesn't mean that I will, always work with someone if it's going to move the needle and make a difference. And I think one of the biggest examples is the perinatal mental health screening that I'm working with a Democrat senator on. Infant health and maternal health is very important to me, and I think that that's something that is an example of who I am.
So if you take a step back from a economic perspective, what's the biggest challenge facing Ohio over the next 5, 10 years?
Yeah, so I think it's quite clearly the issues that have bubbled to the top are energy. Ohio used to be an energy exporting state. We are getting back to that point. And we all know that energy costs is a huge input into the economy. Everyone who runs a business pays an energy bill. Everyone who lives in a house or an apartment pays an energy bill. Everyone who fills up their gas tank pays that bill. So I'm a big believer in good policy that allows for energy production. We need to generate more energy, get it onto the grid, especially if we're going to have industrial growth in the state of Ohio. I'll point to an example, House Bill 15, which was passed through the Energy Committee that I sit on. I think it's been a big major step in the positive direction for energy generation. Just for an example, we allowed for behind-the-meter generation, which I think is really transformational, and it's non-specific. It doesn't have to be, a gas plant. It could be a small mini nuclear. It can be a wide variety of things, but it allows for an industrial-based business to produce their own energy and not basically suck it down from the grid. And I think that's going to be transformational. The other issue that is an issue is data centers. That's something that people have some concerns about. Look, I've been very frank about my position about data centers. I think from a national security standpoint, from an economic development standpoint, and from just a future progression in this country, we do need data centers. People don't realize how much they actually rely on AI when they are using their phone or their computer. However, I believe strongly that data centers should pay for their own energy usage. I do not believe that that should be on the backs of consumers. My preference is for them to be on industrial sites. Sites that are zoned industrial or former brownfields where there is likely already a power source. And I'm very conscious that they should not be adding to polluting our environment or our water. We need to protect the land around us. And look, my preference is not for farmland to be sold off for data centers, but I believe in individual rights and farmers can do what they want with their property. I just think that we need to put guardrails onto data centers. But I still think that it's an important component of economic growth. And believe me, if you talk to the trades, they have so many jobs booming because of these data centers. And they want the work. And I think that it's important. I'm a big believer in common sense solutions and finding that sweet balance between one extreme or the other. That's kind of how I am and how I judge what we should be doing in the legislature.
Yeah. So you basically responded to the question in terms of statewide issues or opportunities along the lines of energy costs, grid reliability, its implications on data centers. If you zoomed in on just your district, the Stark County, Canton area, is it along those same lines, or what do you view to be the greatest economic opportunity for your district?
Yeah, no, I think, obviously data centers, there's also, I've been working with, interestingly enough, and it's public, there's some real interest in some of our old industrial sites. I've been talking with a group that wants to produce electrical steel in Louisville in a former site there. And this is unique because it is the steel coils that go into our transformers. Currently in the country, there's only one producer. The United States imports all of it. That, from my perspective, from a national security and just an economic reliability and energy reliability, we need to produce more. So I think there's real opportunities. I think my district is well positioned for growth. We have, look, I've lived here for over 30 plus years, and I've seen the downturns. I've seen our major companies leave, like Hoover, and the devastating impact it's had. I believe that we should be seeking opportunities for businesses to move here, for jobs, for opportunities, for economic growth.
Oh, that's great. In terms of businesses, particularly small businesses, entrepreneurs, what role do you see the state playing in helping support, whether they're startups, they're a business looking to expand, they're an entrepreneur who wants to take an idea, to market? What role do you think the state can or should be playing in that process?
Yeah, well, I've watched some of my friends start businesses, and it is daunting. From a regulatory standpoint, from a legal standpoint, oftentimes our small businesses are hammered so much so that they almost have to hire two or three people to keep up with all the regulations and all the compliance that they have to do, and they cannot compete with the bigger behemoths, right? That I'm very conscious of that, and I don't think the state should be putting more and more burdens on our smaller businesses. I'm a big believer in the tools that we can use for economic development, like our tax credits, and that we can use to spur economic development. I think that we should be, as a state overall policy, being much more entrepreneurial. We as a state could probably be attracting more venture capital into businesses through startups. And if there's a way to create such a mechanism, I think that would be transformational for Ohio. We do have a lot of, you know, startup tech companies that are coming to Ohio, but the smaller businesses with great ideas should be, you know, looked at and fostered.
Absolutely. So as you're out there talking to the business community, we're a chamber, we hear it all the time from our members. Workforce is obviously a continued and consistent concern for employers of all shapes and sizes, all industries. As a legislator, as a member of the Senate, how would you like to see you and your colleagues address workforce shortages and maybe even take that question a step further and better align educational programs with industry needs?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked, because I just introduced a bill in the Senate that does just exactly that. You know, we've had a lot of smaller programs or programs around the state. I used to serve on the Stark Education Partnership Board, so I'm very familiar with this, that sort of aligns students with the industry. But this goes a step further. This actually allows for private sector investment into our higher education, whether it's community colleges or universities, to actually put money into a program, whether it's a certification program or a degree program. And if they put money into this program and they're investing, they then get a tax credit if there's been hiring, a certain amount of hiring out of, and these kids are getting jobs based on that degree or certification, or that there's, you know, successes in other ways. And this, I think, aligns higher education with workforce development in a more specific way, because it is actually the job creators who are looking to invest in creating the programs that they need and the skills that they need for their particular business. I think that's incredibly important. We also need to make sure that we're training our kids to be ready for the workforce. They need to have, you know, the skills to know what it means to show up to work on time, to be responsible, to have a, you know, some financial understanding, and that responsibility. I think there's, I've been hearing about the workforce shortage probably for over the last 10 years. And the good news is, you know, people who want a job can get a job today. We just have to make sure that they have the skills to do that. And I'm a big believer that we can make this a win-win for both. And that's what my legislation does.
No, that's great. And it sounds very much aligned with a lot of the workforce development activities happening in the region. Look forward to learning more about that. When policymaking, and maybe this is a more philosophical question, but when you and your colleagues are making policy down in Columbus, what importance do you place on ensuring longer-term stability and predictability? One thing that we hear a lot from businesses is concerns with just the unknown. And you know, that's always going to be a thing in some way, shape, or form. But, you know, whether it's ambiguity with things like tariffs or just changing regulations, how much importance do you personally place on making sure that laws are predictable and that there's a stable mm-hmm. operating environment for businesses?
Absolutely. I think that's critical. You know, especially when you look at it through the lens of a small business, they can't be as nimble or react to a new regulation or a new law like a big business can, right? And so I think predictability is incredibly important. I don't believe that policymakers should veer from one extreme to the other in a, you know, one general assembly to another. I believe in, we should be reducing the tax burden. We should be reducing the regulatory burden. We should be fostering economic growth and jobs. One other thing that I will just say, I'm a lawyer. I don't practice now, but I did for several years. I believe that, CNBC just said Ohio is the number one place to do business. That was not the case 10, 15 years ago. We were not a pro-business state. And one thing that I think was very important was instituting tort reform. I've seen friends of mine who had business and they were sued right and left. And that cost is a silent killer to a business. And so I think we need to be very, and I have a lot of legislators who, I'm old, I'm almost 60. So I've been around. I remember before we had tort reform and actually it was practicing law then, we were a much more litigious state. There's some who forget what it was like, and it's something that I'm keeping a watchful eye on. I don't want the state to veer into another direction.
Great. Thank you for that. So let's fast forward 2 years. Let's say you're elected in November, you begin a new term in January, fast forward 2 years. What's success look like for you over that 2 year span? What's a big thing or two that you hope to accomplish?
I think I'd like to see more economic growth. I'd like to see Ohio. I think Ohio is quite clearly poised to be, if not the shining beacon in the Midwest, but one of the great states that everyone else is looking to. People look to Florida. They look to other states where they're growing, where they have their regulatory environment, their tax environment correct. I want everyone to say, hey, we want to be just like Ohio. Ohio's doing it right. They've got less taxes, less regulation. They've got booming jobs. People are moving into the state of Ohio. Businesses are moving into the state of Ohio. People feel good about being in Ohio. That's the one thing. So many people think, oh, Ohio. But if you come to this state and if you travel the state like I have, we have so many beautiful, natural, wonderful places. I want more and more people to move here and stay here. And I'd love for more kids not to go away to college and never come back. I want them to, go to college here or maybe go somewhere else and come back and start a business. I want people to feel like they have a bright future in Ohio.
Absolutely. So, listen, before we wrap up, and I invite you to provide some closing remarks and maybe a call to action, a campaign website where folks can go to learn more about you. I wanted to do just a quick round of rapid fire questions, responses to which could be one word, just very brief, one way or the other.
Okay.
Biggest barrier to business growth in Ohio?
Energy costs.
One policy you would change or implement immediately.
Lower taxes.
Industry with the most growth potential in our state.
I would say data centers.
One word describing Ohio's economic future.
Right.
Biggest misconception about state government.
That we actually work across the aisle, that we actually work together quite a bit, that we listen to, and believe me, we listen to people that come and testify. We listen to the people that we represent. We don't live in a vacuum. We live in your community and we represent you.
Well, Senator Timken, thank you for your time. Any closing remarks?
Sure. I love what I do. But most importantly, my job is to represent the people of my district. It would be a great honor to continue serving Starr County in the Ohio Senate. If you have any more interest in supporting me, it's janetimkenforohio.com. And that's Timken, janetimkenforohio.com. I would love to continue my work, and I ask you for your vote and support.
Senator Timken, thank you. Best of luck with the rest of your campaign.
Thank you.